convention is coming, and we are spirit taught and are seeking God in our hearts for the mind of Christ and to be edified and continue in our lives and in our ministry wherever we are coming from. Turkey, good to see Lizzie and Roger and you know, Matt, I haven't seen yet, and Morgan, and Pastor Satellite and his wife here, which is amazing. And did Nathan go back? Later, okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, he's in translating for his mother. Okay, she's hearing her son's voice. Yeah, that's great. In Hebrews chapter 7, there's two points to make tonight. One of them is amazing. It's amazing. It's just great. And I never really saw it before, but I want to bring it out tonight. It's when we meet Jesus, what happens when we meet Jesus? Now, in Hebrews, we read that Christ has entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven at the end of chapter 6. And he is after the order of Melchizedek. You see that in verse 20 of chapter 6. After the order of Melchizedek. So we have a particular order, or we use that. That's used in the classification of living things. There's order and species, family, genus. Is it genus, family, genus, or is it order, family, order, genus, species? I don't remember, but there is a category, a particular kind of person, and his name is Melchizedek, and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible has put in the Bible a person whose name is Melchizedek. Now, the name sounds strange to us, of course, different language, but he was a king. But in the Jewish world, genealogy really means a lot. If you read the book of Genesis, you see the genealogies and the lineages, which are so important in the Jewish mind. But Melchizedek, in the Jewish Bible, in the book of Genesis, there's no mention of his father or mother, nor of any relatives, nor of his grave, his death. There's no tombstone with Melchizedek, born this year, died this year. This information is not there. And it seems that this obscure person that just comes into history and blesses Abraham and then leaves is a type or a picture of Christ. In that this king, Melchizedek, was also a priest, but not in the Jewish sense of the tribe of Levi, for Abraham is the first Jew, and he has no children at this point. It's in Genesis 14. And in a sense, all of Israel is in Abraham's loins, they say here in Hebrews 7. In Abraham's loins, or we would say in Abraham's DNA, is his son, Isaac, his grandson, Jacob, and his great-grandchildren, the 12 sons of Jacob. And one of them was Levi. And that is all in Abraham when he meets this priest in the valley of Kidron. This is just outside the wall of Jerusalem. But we know that in that time, the land was filled with Canaanites and Philistines, and that the nation of Israel was virtually non-existent except by promise. And these fighting tribes, warring tribes, had kingdoms there. And there was a group of them that got together, kings got together, and these are small territories when we think about kings today, but these are smaller territories, but nevertheless kingdoms. And they got together and they warred against the king of Sodom. Well, Abraham had a nephew there, and his name was Lot. And so this invading army come in and take Lot and his family and steal out of the town of Sodom, this kingdom of Sodom. And Abraham decides to go after them to rescue his nephew. And Abraham has a small army of 318 people. And he goes out and he succeeds. He defeats the opposition, and it's miraculous because he has a small army. He gets Lot and he comes back, and the king of Sodom is amazed. And the king of Sodom wants to meet Abraham, and he wants to pay him, wants to give him something. But before he makes the offer, Abraham is just outside of what is today Jerusalem in the Valley of Kidron, and Abraham meets this priest. And it's kind of strange. And it's supposed to be. It's strange because this priest is also a king. He is a king and a priest. And it says that he blessed Abraham. Now, what happened, I'm telling you the paraphrase picture before we read the scripture. What happened was when Abraham was blessed, and I want you to kind of get a hold of this idea. Abraham was anointed, was blessed, was in communion, that Christ, he met Melchizedek. And we want to bring in the word Christ there, that he met Melchizedek, and some say it is a typology, some say it is a theophany or Christophany, was actually Christ. And they ate, what did they eat there? Do you remember what Abraham ate with Melchizedek? Bread and wine. Well, what does that sound like? That sounds like the Last Supper. That sounds like communion. That sounds like kingdom, eating bread in the kingdom of God. And Abraham ate bread and wine with the priest Melchizedek, and Abraham is so amazed at it that he pays tithes. He wants to give to the priest, and he pays 10% to the priest, and the priest blesses him. Now, it's not written how that blessing is, but I want to suggest to you that when you meet Christ and he blesses you, you go away, you know, let's say you're walking this far off the ground, you're lighthearted, spirit-filled, like God is real, Jesus is amazing. And then Abraham meets the king of Sodom. And the king of Sodom said, "You are the man that saved my city. You are the man that saved my people. You are the man that did all of this. And I want to pay you. I want to give this to you." And Abraham said, basically, "I don't want anything from you. I don't want a shoe latchet. I don't want anything. I just want the men that are with me to get whatever they want to. But I am saying this. I am blessed of God." Now, this is the meaning of this text, and I want you to look at it. Go to Genesis 14, please, and we will read it. We have the Confederation listed with the different armies, the Canaanite armies, and the grouping of these to go after the king of Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 11, they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. They took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Verse 13, and there came a one that had escaped and said to Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre of the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, smote them, pursued them unto the Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavah, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And that is the Hebrew El Elyon, the Most High God, the name of God, the Most High God. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into your hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Whenever Christ meets us, and I believe that happened here this morning in our service, that Christ met us and blessed us. And then we go out the door and somebody offers us something. And we say, no, I'm good. I've just been in church. I'm good. The Holy Spirit is filling me. I met God in the prayer time. I obey God in faith. I'm good. I don't need what you have to offer me. I appreciate it. I thank you very much. You can give it to somebody else. But I've been with God. I ate the bread and drank the wine, and God has blessed me. The keys came out of the belly of the fish. I'm okay. I got something that man cannot give, but my priest can give me. Our high priest who gives us his blessing. Maybe we could go through many examples. Peter was in distress because he denied the Lord, but the Lord met him. And we could say they had bread and wine. And Peter could say, I'm good. Don't worry about me. That my priest is taking care of me. I'm okay. The five miracles on the Sea of Galilee. Can you imagine those five miracles happening? And you're going to end up saying at the, you know, wow. I mean, wow. This is what Abraham was feeling. This is what was happening in his life. And this is what is happening in your life. And you might say, Pastor, it's not really happening with me. I'm telling you, it's there for you. And it happens. Keep on. Don't back off. Believe, trust God. Do not care. But shake the dust off. Look unto him. Trust him. He'll take care of you. And he blesses you because he is the high priest that doesn't die like Levi's priesthood. Those men died, but this man is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The priests of Levi also offered up animals, but our priest offered up himself and shed his own blood. The priests of Levi were never sitting down. They were slaughtering animals, walking here to the altar, burning incense inside the holy place. There was no chairs, no sitting down. They were always working. But our high priest sat down at the right hand of the Father. And he has visited us and blessed us with an eternal blessing of the Spirit. And Abraham, feeling this, when the king of Sodom, let's go to the next part, it says verse 22, And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord. When did you do that, Abraham? Abram? When did you lift up your hand unto the Lord? Well, when I went out after my nephew, and I went out after the enemies, and I went out, I was believing God because God had promised me a son, and God had promised me a land. God has promised me to be I'm the head of great nation, but I am not anything. But I have I met my high priest. I met the man that's making this possible. I met my high priest who's there in my place. I met the high priest that blessed me. Oh, Abraham, you are the one that blesses. No, I do. And in God blessing me, I bless others. But my blessing must come not from, my blessing is not from me. My blessing is from my high priest. My blessing, I lift up my hand to the Most High God that's going to take care of me and shower me with what I need. So, King of Sodom, thank you. You can take your stuff and give it away or have a yard sale, whatever you want to do. Give it to the guys that went with me. But as for me, I got something going on. I don't need your stuff. I don't need this or that. You know, that's the idea. Look at verse 22. To the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. Now, sometimes we need a shoe latchet or a thread. Yeah, it's not wrong to take it. But there's a taking. There's a taking that we have because we don't have a blessing. I don't have a blessing, then I'm going to be a taker. But if you get a blessing, then you end up being a giver, a servant, correct? Abraham is saying, you can't even believe how much I am blessed. All your warehouses could not measure up to what it is that I got from my high priest that I met in the valley, that he came to me. I didn't go searching for him. He came to me because God made a covenant with me that God is after me. God is sir. God came to me. My high priest came to me. Now, isn't this an amazing priesthood? And isn't it amazing that we have been brought into the same priesthood? I mean, we have been brought into the very priesthood of our living God who cares for us every day, washes our feet and takes care of us, prays for us, fills us with the Spirit, washes us with His Word, and says, listen, if I bless you, if God has blessed me, then who can curse me? If God is for me, who could be against me ultimately? If God is for me and on my side in my life, and I want to say that so clearly to all of us here today. Holy Spirit wants so much to say, I am for you. Pastor Shabelli mentioned all the churches in Africa, 245, was it? And it just started with a small group of people. And I really believe you can start a Toyota dealership in Africa. You can start a Chinese restaurant in Africa. But to have those churches and to be in the presence of those people, the only way that can happen is the priest of the Most High God meeting us and blessing us and commissioning us to have something worthwhile to say, to have a message that's beyond time and space. To meet the Most High, the priest of the Most High God. This is Psalm 110, verse 23. And that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Maybe sometimes we are deprived of things so that, you know, people say, you know, I don't know how that happened in his life. He didn't have half a brain. He didn't have a half a dollar. He didn't have half of a family. He didn't have half of a human body. I can't believe it, but look at that guy. Nobody can say, I have made him rich. The only thing we could say is that God visited him and God has made him rich. That's the idea. Okay, now go to Psalm 110, please. Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. I want to say something about this here. In the genealogy, in the Jewish families, it was he swore he had Moses pick Levi, and line after line after line. If you were of the tribe of Levi, then you were a priest. You were a goofball. It didn't matter. You're still a priest. Why? What qualified you? Your birth. That's all. That's all. You just happened to be born in that family, so you're a priest. That's it. I could be immoral. That's wrong. But still, if you're in that family, you're a priest. And God will not repent. It means he's not changing his mind centuries down the road after he has a couple hundred goofballs for priests. He's not changing his mind. He has a system that he set up, that this is what he ordained. That's the way it is. And of course, he dealt with the people that went off the rails, like Eli and his sons, and he made judgment on them. And he could remove a family. But if you are born into as a Levite into that family, then you were given that function in the nation as a priest. So he doesn't change easily, not changing his mind. If this is the way it is, this is the way it is. But it was a failure in many ways. The priesthood didn't really, it just couldn't produce anything lasting. Morality, but not immorality. It could produce, it could teach law, but it couldn't change a person's heart. It could offer animal sacrifice, but it couldn't bring anybody to heaven. For the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But the blood of the Son of God could take away sin. So God has, before Moses, way back, we are 500 years earlier, he has Abraham meeting Melchizedek, and we could say he met Christ. And God is not going to change. He's not going to change his mind about it. And it says in verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest. He's talking to Christ. Why do we know that? Because verse 1, he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, that's the Christ, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change. You are a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Why does it say after the order? Because Melchizedek has no father or mother in the genealogy, in the record, and he has no end of days in the record. Actually, he has no marriage recorded, no children recorded there. There's nothing recorded. Only this man comes in, blesses Abraham. He's greater than Abraham. Because who is without a doubt, whoever is able to bless another is greater than the other. And it's there in Hebrews 7, we read it. So look at, you are a priest. We could almost cry about it. I don't know if the tears are joy or what, but it's amazing. You are a priest. It blows our mind. It's amazing. I'm okay. I have a priest who is forever. seated, down, sitting. And like in the story with Abraham, when you meet him, it's like, hey, don't even worry about it. Yeah, I'm better than you could ever imagine. I have a priest. I ate with him. I drank in the kingdom of God. I see something. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I have found him. He found me in the valley of Kidron. Wow. Whew, amazing. Okay. So let's go to Hebrews 7 and finish here. Hebrews 7. Here's the New Testament commentary on the only two Old Testament verses that mention the word Melchizedek. Genesis 14 and Psalm 110. But from those two words is this explanation. Verse 1. Where this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Salem is the word for peace. I don't know in the language how it goes with shalom. I always think of shalom as the Hebrew for the word peace. Salem, Jerusalem, Yerushalim, or Yerushalam. I don't know how they say it, but it is. It's a place of peace, okay? This Melchizedek is the king of peace, priest of the Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. In the title is another total message. We won't go into it tonight, but it's an amazing message. Let's put down the two things they say about him. He's king of righteousness. This is first. This is number one. A hint, read Proverbs chapter 11 and count how many times the word righteousness is there. It's the very thing that is the key. This king is a righteous king. This king is unique. Kings are usually unrighteous. They are arrogant, powerful. They are kings with a lot of authority and a lot of influence. But this king is a righteous king. He is a holy king or a righteous king, number one. And then number two, he is priest. And we have this... king of righteousness, king of Salem, king of peace. Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is, listen, what first? Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy. We could put here joy. It's a sequence. He is righteous, he is peace, and then we have joy. This kingdom is different from other kingdoms. God's other kingdoms start with lying and protecting myself and pride and my ego. But this priest, king, doesn't. He's different. He is king of righteousness first. Then there is the king of peace. How can I get peace? Be righteous. You go out and live like hell, you won't have peace. But you live like God, you follow God, you have peace. You have peace like a river in Isaiah 48. Isn't that funny? That this world is looking for peace, but they won't live in righteousness. That's how you get it. You get peace by righteousness. That's the key. That's why Jesus had peace all his life. He was always righteous and he loved righteousness. And he hated iniquity. So the minute you're restless and don't have peace and you're upset and fighting mad and spitting mad and the whole thing, emotional or depressed or melancholic and you're empty and so on, think about what you really need is righteousness of God. They seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be taken care of. Meet the king of Salem and the king of righteousness in the valley of Kidron and eat the bread and the wine with him, and you'll be blessed of God. And you go, I am blessed. And they say, how'd you get that? Righteousness. The world is going, what? He's weird. That's crazy. You're a fanatic or whatever it is. They don't know. I expect you to know that. I expect you that you have tasted it. I would expect that you know about this. That if you seek righteousness, you will find it. And it will be satisfying to you. It happened here to Abraham. People say, God loves. That's what they say. There isn't any hell. People go to heaven. God is love. And they love that message. And he is love. But the first thing in the list is righteousness. That's why he died on the cross. Righteousness, crucified. Righteousness. That's why the world is crazy. They talk about love and my way, and I got to have my feelings met and all of these things. Is anybody seeking righteousness? Where maybe I'm wrong, or maybe there's something wrong with me, or, you know, I want life my way. If you really love me, you'd come and meet my needs and do with it all that I'm looking for. It's like, even if we gave everything we could to make you happy, it still won't work unless we find righteousness. That'll work. Okay? So that's another message, but that's a good one. Let's read verse 3. Without father, here's the description, his bio. Without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. That's why we say it's a typology, because he's made like unto the Son of God. So that's just a detail, but perhaps important. Made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, Melchizedek, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And now he gives the explanation why Jewish people need to recognize who Melchizedek was. Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them, meaning he wasn't Jewish. Imagine, he's not Jewish. His descent is not from Abraham. He came before Abraham. Imagine that. That his descent is not from Abraham. He's from some other. But we have no record, because that's not the point. The point that Christ came into the world, that he wasn't of the law, that he fulfilled the law, meaning he wasn't of the tribe of Levi, he was of the tribe of Judah, meaning that he brought in another kingdom that has no end, the promise of eternal life, the power of an endless life, a risen Christ who's at the right hand of the Father, a Christ that is living forevermore, who's able to save them to the uttermost, a Christ that cares about everybody and anybody that would believe in him, a Christ that has no end, whose name is Everlasting, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Counselor, my Father, Everlasting Father, Mighty God. Verse 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without, here it is, without all contradiction, meaning it can't be questioned, there's no contest, the less is blessed of the better. Abraham was blessed of somebody that was better than him. He was blessed of the better. No question, we are blessed of the better. Abraham was blessed of somebody that represents our Christ, who is better than the Mosaic law method. And this is the point the transition of some better way, a better Christ, a better priest, a better person, better than Moses, better than Joshua, better than, better than the angels in Hebrews 1, better than Abraham, better than Joshua in chapter 4, better than Moses in Hebrews 3. He is better, and he looked for a better. There's a better covenant and better promises, and there's a better city, not the Jerusalem below, but the Jerusalem that is above. So we're going to have our convention, and I'm just believing it's going to be better. Something extraordinary. We're going to meet the Lord. And he's going to bless us. And there are times when this happens. You get empty and tired. You go to battle. You come home exhausted. You've been out in the battle. You're exhausted. You might be even a little bit confused, a little bit troubled or something. And then you meet the king of Sodom. And he says, I want to give you this. Okay, I'll take it, take it. I'm exhausted. I'm tired or whatever. And there I fall in, or I go in that way. But when I go out to battle and I get exhausted and tired, I want Christ to come to me and refresh me and uphold me and quicken me and anoint me. And when I go out there, they can offer me the world. I say, no, I'm good, thank you. I've been refreshed. I had communion. I met Christ. I met God. I got keys out of the belly of a fish. You wouldn't believe it. I met Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. I saw him feed the 5,000. I'm good, believe me. I met my priest, so I'm ready to go into work tomorrow morning. I'm ready to go to school tomorrow. I'm ready to meet somebody on the street tomorrow and basically say, no, I'm good, thank you very much, but I don't need that stuff. I met my priest. I met my Christ. I met God, the living God, who has satisfied and satisfies and helps us and edifies us. That's what is needed. I saw a documentary on a little town in, where was it, West Virginia. I think it was, 8,000 people. 11 pharmacies selling the numbers, my wife could find it, the numbers of pills in 1 year sold out of the 11 pharmacies in a small town. 250,000. X number of pills per person that were sold in that town. Everybody's walking around high. And what about jobs? What about families? What about purpose? What about Christ? What about God? Now, I go and I live like others because I haven't met Melchizedek, returning from the battle of the kings when I'm wiped out and exhausted. And I saw a great miracle happen at the same time. I need him to visit me in the night season. I need him to help me so that when I go out there, I'm going to be able to understand what it is that I can say to these people that are offering me their stuff. And may God help us in that all the time. Amen. Would you pray with me? We need prayer in our country, Pastor George. Oh, no, we need help. We need churches like this one. We need to bring people in here and please say, please sit down, be with me. Come on, let's go, let's meet. God is here. God is meeting us. Our priest is not giving up on us. And we are sent like servants, and we need the water, the wine, and the bread. Lord Jesus, all across America, God, we pray, Jesus, yes, Lord, meet us. Please be busy this week, Lord, and help me. Help me, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Reach out. Help us, God. Yes. Bless our visitors this month. And as they refresh us, and we build up each other in the faith because you are in our presence. And if you're not a believer, tonight is your night. Please believe in Christ. Come on, put your trust in him. He'll take all your sin away and fill you with his Spirit. Please believe in him. Raise your hand, anyone. Just raise your hand. Put it up if you're accepting Christ. Put it up on the internet, please. Put all your trust in Jesus, and he heals you and blesses you. In Jesus' name, amen.